This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, April 8th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, at Gary Witta.
Good morning.
Good morrow to you, sir.
Vault
how you doing?
Vault 69 calling Vault 20. 420.
Trying to get the news out.
What is your status? How you doing over there?
I'm great. I paid off the house in Animal Crossing, you know, thanks to you and us getting crazy about the bells out there.
We got a great line on bells this week. And let's take this opportunity to give another shout out to Ant, mm-hmm. the Kinda Funny best friend who hooked us up with that amazing 638 bell.
Changed our life, you know?
I made 8 million bells.
So and that's the question I have for you, because I had one room completely filled with turnips, right? And that netted me like 3 million bells.
My entire house was filled with turnips.
So you picked up all your furniture and used turnips.
I packed all my furniture away. I know that you can keep them outside. I just didn't want to do that. I wanted my turnips safe in my house.
So wait, if you keep them outside past 1 week, they rot, right? And that's how you get ants or whatever?
I don't think it matters where you keep them. I think they rot after 7 days, no matter what. I just wanted them in my house. Plus, clearing all my furniture out was a good opportunity for me to kind of like, you know, redesign my house from scratch because I wasn't happy with it.
Spring cleaning, you know what I mean? Get out
there. Yeah, you got to do it. And yeah. I had three whole rooms. I think I had about 13,000 turnips that I bought. it was a race against time, Greg, as you know, because when our friend opened up the island, you have to bring them over in batches because you got so many. I had to make four trips.
Yeah.
And I got the last trip in right under the wire.
Yeah. Remember, Kind of Funny best friends, if you want Greg and Gary to come and be ravenous on your island, right. all you have to do is keep your turnip prices. Once it crosses 500, that's when we're ready to sell.
If you want celebrity influencers to come and bring the social media spotlight to your island, all you got to do is hit us up with those crazy turnip prices, and you know we'll be over there like a shot.
In a jiff. But
we'll turn your island into a goddamn fire festival.
It'll work out. We won't do anything. Gary, enough about Animal Crossing. We have to talk about the PlayStation 5 controller, the DualSense, Inside Xbox dropping a bunch of information, and Borderlands trying to help science, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, your squad up requests, and everything under the video game sun. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get the show ad-free. You can get the daily exclusive post show, and you can just have a great time with us, me and Gary, or whoever's on. If you have no bucks to toss our way, though, we understand. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today is simple. There's a new Kinda Funny podcast up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny. The question is simple. Would you watch Greg Miller porn? Go watch that video and tell us in the comments below. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo. Al Tribesman, the Predator, right? He's the Predator, right? Right, Kevin?
Yeah.
That originated on the show.
Tribesman that somehow became the Predator.
And then you guys go like that, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Number one with a bullet, Gary Witt. I'm sorry, four items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen!
Number one with a bullet, Gary Witta. The PlayStation 5 controller has been revealed. It is the DualSense. We're going to read from the PlayStation blog, where the senior vice president of platform planning and management put up the following report. Kevin, if you can go through the screenshots or the blog or however you want to do it up there, you can look at this bad boy, this dual tone white and black.
Let's get up on the screen. Let's all look at it.
We've reached an exciting milestone with PlayStation 5. As we're starting to ship our new controller in its final design to developers who are implementing its unique features into their games. But first, we wanted everyone in the PlayStation community to get a first look at the DualSense wireless controller and hear our vision for how the new controller will captivate more of your senses as you interact with the virtual worlds in PlayStation 5 games. The features of the DualSense, along with the PS5's Tempest 3D audio tech, will deliver a new feeling of immersion to players. After thoughtful consideration, we decided to keep much of what gamers love about the DualShock 4 intact, while also adding new functionality and refining the design. Based on our discussions with developers, we concluded that the sense of touch within gameplay, much like audio, hasn't been a big focus for many games. We had a great opportunity with the PS5 to innovate by offering game creators the ability to explore how they can heighten the feeling of immersion through our new controller. This is why we adopted haptic feedback, which adds a variety of powerful sensations that you'll feel when you play, such as the slow grittiness of a car driving through mud. We also incorporated adaptive triggers into the L2 and R2 buttons of the DualSense, so you can truly feel the tension of your actions, like drawing a bow to shoot an arrow. This provided us with an exciting challenge to design a new controller that builds off the current generation, while taking into account the new features we were adding. For example, with adaptive triggers, we had to consider how the components would fit into the hardware without giving it a bulky feeling. Our design team worked closely with our hardware engineers to place the triggers and actuators. The designers were then able to draw the lines of how the exterior of the controller would look and feel, with the challenge of making the controller feel smaller than it really looks. In the end, we changed the angle of the hand triggers and made some subtle updates to the grip. We also took thoughtful consideration into ways to maintain a strong battery life for the DualSense's rechargeable battery and to lessen the weight of the controller as much as possible with the new features we're added. For the buttons, you'll notice there is no longer a share button as we had with the DualShock 4. Don't worry, it's not going away. In fact, we've built upon the success of our industry-first share button to bring you a new create button feature. With create, we're once again pioneering new ways for players to create epic gameplay content to share with the world, or just to enjoy for themselves. We'll have more details on that feature as we get closer to launch. DualSense adds in a built-in microphone array, which will enable players to easily chat with friends without a headset, ideal for jumping into a quick conversation. But of course, if you're planning to chat for a longer period of time, it's good to have a headset handy. Now, let's talk about colors. Traditionally, our base controllers have a single color. As you can see, we went a different direction this time around and decided on a two-tone design. Additionally, we changed the position of the light bar that will give it an extra pop. On the DualShock 4, it sat on the top of the controller. Now it sits on at each side of the touchpad, giving it a slightly larger look and feel. In all, we went through several concepts and hundreds of mock-ups over the last few years before we settled on this final design. DualSense has been tested by a wide range of gamers with a variety of hand sizes in order for us to achieve the comfort level we wanted with great ergonomics. Our goal with DualSense is to give gamers the feeling of being transported into the game world as soon as they open the box. We want gamers to feel like the controller is an extension of themselves when they're playing, so much so that they forget it's even in their hands. We are thrilled about sharing the final look of the DualSense controller with our fans, and we can't wait for everyone to get their hands on it. I'd like to close with a message from SIE President and CEO Jim Ryan to the community. Quote, DualSense marks a radical departure from our previous controller offerings and captures just how strongly we feel about making a generational leap with the PlayStation 5. The new controller, along with the many innovative features in PS5, will be transformative for games, continuing our mission at PlayStation to push the boundaries of play now and into the future. To the PlayStation community, I truly want to thank you for sharing this exciting journey with us as we head towards PS5's launch in holiday 2020. We look forward to sharing more information about PS5, including the console design, in the coming months. Gary, that was long, but it was important. When you look at this, and if you're an audio listener who hasn't seen it, we'll do our best to describe this two-tone controller that looks like an Oreo had sex with an Xbox controller, but then also the PlayStation was there and all sorts of DNAs mixed together. What do you think of the DualSense, Gary Whitta?
I mean, I like it. It's hard to, you know, to get a real sense of it until you get it in hand. That's what's going to matter.
Of course.
How does it feel in the hand? I had a couple of observations right off the bat. First of all, I think that, you know, this is significant. This is the first major ergonomic change to the PlayStation controller since what? They added the thumbsticks to the original PlayStation controller?
I mean, like, it depends how you want to go from it. Yeah, but like, yes, I would think even that, right? You figure adding the sticks, they kept the body, right? And then as you go, they kept changing the body here and right. there a little bit to where the PlayStation 4 is such a, the DualShock 4 is such a more rounded base, you know, like just rounded in general is how I always think of it. This, you're right, is taking away the usual beneath the sticks, right? There was usually just the rounded parts that were the sticks.
Yeah, but the basic the basic silhouette of the PlayStation controller has been the same since the PlayStation 1, essentially the same. And that's also true of the Microsoft, the Xbox control. You know, I beyond the Duke, you know, once we settled on the kind of the 360 variant, that's pretty much what has stayed true. And even with the Series X, you know, they've revealed that controller. They've made a couple of minor adjustments, but the form factor, the silhouette, you know, the kind of the ergonomic profile of it has remained the same. And I think, you know, PlayStation and Microsoft would both be justified in saying at this point, look, this is a mature design. We pretty much, at this point, we don't need to.
Why?
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I think this is a ballsy move by PlayStation. You know, a lot of people, a lot of PlayStation gamers are extremely, extremely familiar with, you know, kind of the hand feel and the ergonomics and everything about the DualShock controller. So this is a pretty, it doesn't seem like, you know, if you look at it, it's like, okay, like kind of more rounded edges, but you know, it's not that different, but it's going to be, like I said, it's definitely the biggest change to the PlayStation controller since they added the dual thumbsticks to the PlayStation 1 controller. So it'll be interesting how people respond. I like a lot of what they're doing. I mean, I think it looks good. You know, when I first saw it, I thought it kind of gave me flashbacks to that horrible PS3 boomerang prototype. Yeah.
Well,
that they never
did. It's different, right? It's different.
Just because it's
that's
different.
Why people flip out about
I've
it.
I've seen some people be very negative. Oh, it looks like a Mad Catz controller or whatever. Again, just because it's different, it's going to take a while for people to get their heads around it. I personally like the kind of the more rounded shape of it. It feels like it's more in line with the silhouette of the Xbox controller, which will please me because I prefer that. That form factor a little bit better.
Would you want them to go the full nine and like do the offset sticks?
The only thing, no, because again, it's not personally about me. Like I think PlayStation people that play on PlayStation like the sticks where they are, right? And people that play Xbox like the sticks where they are. I think the one thing they could have done, but maybe they'll do it down the road, or maybe it'll be left up to like a third party like Astro Gaming. If I could have any wish list item on this controller, I would have made the thumbstick and the D-pad modular so you could swap them around.
Sure.
Like you can on the Astro C40.
Yep.
So you can make the sticks offset if you want, but that probably would have bumped the price up. One thing I really love is the inbuilt microphone. It's like, why? It's kind of amazing to me that they didn't think of that before, that you no longer have to plug in an earbud or a headset for it to function as a microphone.
Well, believe it or not, Mr. Woody, you're stumbling into all sorts of things we have from reader mail. So I want to get to those, but I also want to talk about it. So that was my thing. Is like, I think you hit the nail on the head from the very start of, well, yeah, what do you think of this thing? And I'm in the same boat as you, where I'm like, I don't know what I think of it till I hold it. You know what I mean? At a glance of it, like so many people are freaking out about the white, that it's going to get filthy, it's going to get dirty, it's going to be all these things. Like, I've had plenty of white controllers that didn't get grimy if you just take care of them. I understand when, like, kids in different living circumstances, I understand it. That doesn't get me. So glancing at it, the issues I have with it come from the side view. And Kevin, if you could pull that up,
the side view right now. From the side, Greg, it actually looks more like a DualShock 4.
Sure. My problem with it, though, right, is like and this can totally be the way the white is playing off of it, and also the fact how the clear buttons are playing off of it, right? But I just, the buttons look so flush. Like they're, I want my buttons removed. And I'm holding, if you're an audio listener, I'm holding up my DualShock 4 to the camera to try to basically convince myself even of. I think what I'm dealing with is the fact that it's white buttons on top of a white controller. It's making them look closer, more flush with the actual.
I don't know though, because I'm looking at the side view right now, and you can see that the buttons are raised up. Maybe there's less clearance, but
that's my thing. I'm not saying they're not raised. I'm just saying I want them more. But looking at it honestly here in a side comparison, I think it does look pretty much exactly the same. But
I actually really like the two-tone aesthetic. It looks very Detroit Beyond Human to me. You know, it's got like, it looks slick, it looks modern, it looks cool. I know that it's not for everyone, but don't forget, this thing is going to be maybe not at launch, but that Sony's going to release all kinds of colors. In fact, I've already seen a lot of mock-ups.
At launch, they definitely will do. Like, not, this is what you're getting out of the box, but at launch, they'll still be, hey, we want, not a million, but I bet there'll be some.
Now, I've seen mock-ups for what it would look like in all black. I've seen
all black looks sexy.
For various different, like, pastel shades. Like, they'll be able to do a lot of fun things with this.
But one of the things I thought was interesting that they call out in the blog post, right? With the challenge of making the controller feel smaller than it really looks. That's my thing, is that, again, looking at it compared to my DualShock 4, it does look bigger. And I don't think it's going to be drastically bigger, but I think that is interesting that they call that out. So
I mean, it looks a bit chubbier.
Oh yeah. Well, you figure, because again, look at, like, you figure they've added in, so, like, I'm holding up again the DualShock 4. They filled in the space beneath the sticks, right? Where that line looks way more flush. And again, it could be a trick of the eye. It could be how they're shooting it. It could be a million different things. We won't know till we hold it. But yeah, look, and then you figure they've rounded the top of it too, so they've added on to where the DualShock 4
looks. I like it a lot. Look, one of the reasons why I've always kind of slightly preferred Xbox to PlayStation is I just like the Xbox 360, the Xbox One controller better, the ergonomics of it. So if this brings this more in line with that, then I'll be all for that.
What was interesting too is when it went out, the initial thing I saw were people just, of course, and this is the internet, dragging it through the streets and beating it to death and just talking about how ugly and hideous and they hated it and yada, yada, yada.
I mean, that was as inevitable as the sun rising in the east.
I put up a very unscientific poll on Twitter. I got just under 20,000 responses and 50.7% love it, 9.9% hate it, and then 39.4% say, I don't know yet. So
yeah, because again, this is the thing that you're going to be holding for thousands of hours. That's what's going to matter. I have a feeling, because like Sony obviously have put this through all kinds of testing and QA and stuff like that. My feeling is that when you put it in your hand, you're going to go, oh yeah, this feels good. I'm sure I feel confident I've done a good job. The other thing that I think that really caught my eye from that blog post that you read out was the more, I know people go, oh, Rumble's Rumble, but Rumble isn't Rumble. Like, yes, most of the time it's just vibrations. But like, if you've ever used the HD Rumble in a Switch Joy-Con, it's actually really good and it can create all kinds of different effects. So the idea of, you know, Rumble that more accurately feels like riding over a dirt road, as they talked about, or the triggers feeling like you're really pulling back, you know, the string on a bow and arrow kind of thing. We'll need to see what it actually feels like. But the promise of that, I think, is really interesting.
No, that, I think somebody wrote in, your question didn't make it to the actual show thing, but it was talking about like haptic feedback is in other controllers and people have talked about it before. And it's, yes, it is. And I think it right now it's a buzzword because they can only talk about so many things and they can't talk about their games and they can't actually show you these examples. I think it is the same way it was with Switch, where I do distinctly remember when they were doing the reveals and they were like, with 1-2 Switch, do I have one ice cube in the thing or two ice cubes in the thing? And we're all like, this is so fucking stupid. And then when you got it in your hands, now we're years later playing games and it does feel awesome.
But it actually really did feel like ice cubes rattling really around in a glass. It was amazing. Right.
And so I think that's the same thing here. Of once we get this and it's not, oh yeah, it's like a car driving over dirt. Instead, it is like, no, this is what it's like for Aloy when she's pulling back a thing, or when you're, you know, trying to pull down a chain to open a door in Last of Us Part 3 or whatever. However they want to iterate that stuff.
I would say this, Greg, you know, right now, you know, Xbox and PlayStation are in this, you know, kind of marketing war as, you know, we're, you know, here's your reveal. We're going to counter it with our reveal. And I've said all along that I feel like Xbox have been doing a much better job. They've shown more. They've talked in more detail about things that are exciting. You know, PlayStation took a hit a couple of weeks ago for the Mark Cerny weird, you know, presentation with the weird cardboard cutouts and that kind of stuff, and it was very dry. And we talked about that. I'll say this. I would say, like, just based on the controllers, I like what I'm hearing out of Sony more than Microsoft right now. The Xbox Series X controller is going to be, there wasn't anything radical added, just like, you know, just refined a couple of things. This feels like more revolution than evolution with the again, not throwing out what works, but it feels like this feels like a bigger, I feel like the PlayStation controller is going to take a bigger step forward this generation than the Xbox controller.
And again, that's what's going to be fascinating about this, is that as we go back and forth and who's doing what, who's saying the best things or how are they doing it? It's interesting to see that even with the Cerny presentation that was meant for GDC, so it wasn't meant for us in a lot of ways. What stuck with me is where he talked about, evolution versus revolution, right? And how this has been, you know, this is that, you know, from PS3 to PS4, it was this evolution, not a revolution. With PS5, they're trying to revolutionize the PlayStation brand and what they're doing. This is the first thing, I think, that was very, right? Cerny, very on purpose, was telling, not showing. This is them showing, not telling, right? Of like, they're not even driving that home as much as they could in their statements, right? And they're not using it as buzzwords yet. They're like, here's the controller, and yes, it is different, and yes, we're doing something different here. I, you know, as somebody who loves the share button, as I, you know, as somebody who loves putting up screenshots and, you know, clips and all that jazz, I'm very fascinated to see what, I know it's just marketing or whatever, but changing share to create, what does that actually mean?
Based on that word salad that came out of that blog, that press release, what were you able to decipher from that? Like, what is this create button going to do?
I mean, my hope would be that it's bringing you to a create suite similar to like that's as easy to use as Dreams is, right? Because even right now, when you hit share and it's like, cool, do you want to save the video? Do you want to, you know, trim the video to put on Twitter? Do you want to get a screenshot? Do you want to do whatever? That's all well and good. But like, if you really want to remember, you can save the video and then go in, leave the game, go into cross meet or well, live area, go into the create suite. I forget what it's called off the top of my head. Then go in there and put bumpers on. Like, it's a whole bunch of steps to get you to video editing tools. My thought here would be that you're going to hit that button and you're into the suite no matter what. It's bam. And it's like, do you want the screenshot? Do you want the thing? Do you want to put this on? Do you want to put, you know, different faces on it? Do you hopefully, you know, I can't believe that they still don't have batch upload screenshots from the thing like Switch does. Maybe finally expand it to 280 characters on Twitter. Like, I think it's going to bring you to a real social media suite in terms of what you can do with it. And then a video editing suite.
Like, if you want to start streaming on Twitch or whatever, do you think you'd like you'd have access to things like that from that?
Oh, 100%. I wasn't even bringing that up because I think that's already that. I think all the functionality you currently have on the share button, which includes Twitch and everything else, is going to stay there. I think it'll just be easier to use. It'll be easier to jump into. Like you got to, for people to really take advantage of all that stuff, because people don't. You need to remove as many barriers to entry as you can. You want people to get right into it.
Do you like this white? Do you like this white color, or would you, if you could have a different color out of the box, would you prefer something else?
Let's bring in our first question. All right, because we do have a bunch. Thank you all for being so good with writing in questions, breaking news. Jamie S writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Happy Widow Wednesday, Greg and Gary. What might the two-tone color design tell us about the final design of the PS5 console? Will it also be white, black, and blue?" That's where it gets interesting. Looking at the controller out of context, I don't love the dual tone. I would prefer, and this is back to what we're talking about with personal stuff, right? I would prefer it to be either all black or all white. However, that's because I'm looking at this controller not understanding what box it hooks up to. And so to the question from Jamie, yes, I think this does tell us officially the color scheme of the PlayStation 5. What that, I'm not, you know, a designer by any stretch of the imagination, nor, as we've talked about on the show before, do I really ever stop and think of like what the console is going to look like? It's going to look like a box, and I thought it would be all black, and now I look at this and I'm thinking it's going to be either black with white highlights, or it's going to be white with black highlights. And I think white with black highlights makes more sense based on this, but I'm talking on my ass and just trying to pair it up with what it looks like. Gary?
First of all, I just want to say it's fascinating, isn't it, to see the different approaches. Microsoft and Sony are two companies that basically have the exact same job right now, which is sell a new console to consumers for this holiday season, hopefully. And it's fascinating to see the different ways in which they've gone about that. Like Microsoft unveiled the shape of the box, some time ago, like even before the start of the year. We've known that
December, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Right. And there've been more forthcoming with information. Sony's now catching up now. Sony's doing it in this other weird way. It's like, well, here's the controller. Like, they're just kind of doing it like in a kind of more piecemeal way. And I don't know what is the better strategy. They're just two different strategies.
I think the thing about what's interesting about how PlayStation is handling this is that they're doing it very pragmatically. Like, I don't think you can look past the first paragraph of this blog post and not see what's happening, right? We've reached an exciting milestone. This is the first sentence, Gary. We've reached an exciting milestone with the PlayStation 5 as we're starting to ship our new controller and its final design to developers who are implementing blah, blah, blah. The messaging there, like if you cut through it, is, hey, we're shipping this out, which means it's about to leak on Reset Era. Right. So we'll do it here. We're going to, you know what I mean? Like, we've learned from how this goes before with Vitas and PlayStation 4 dev kits, and it's just not worth it. So we're going to do what everybody always, we're going to do what people always say when this happens, is we don't want this weird blurry screenshot coming out of what even a dev controller probably will have a bunch of stuff added to it or tweaked to it. We don't want that coming out. We'll come out and message it ourselves, and we'll give you the photo so that, yes, when it does ship to some third party developer and they do, you know, put it up and take a photo and put it on Reddit or whatever, we don't have to worry about doing catch up to it. Here's what it is. This is what it looks like. Enjoy. And that's smart. It's not exciting. I know people talk about that all the time. It's not like what I saw immediately. Why wasn't this part of Cerny's thing? That would have done. It's like, well, that Cerny's thing wasn't about the controller. Like, right. They're picking very specific beats and they're doing very specific things here. Not because there's a question in here, actually. Hold on. About if they were trying to fight back and forth between Xbox. And that's not what's happening, I don't think, with the controller. I think the controller reveal is very much like, All right, cool. We're shipping these out because developers need to actually have it for what they're doing and how it'll actually work with them and all these different things. What the one thing we haven't touched on too, we'll get back to the Xbox. I'll bring up Greg Sinclair's question in a second, is the change in the light bar, which I, when I first saw it head on and I saw the glowing around the sides, I was like, because they talk about they've moved the light bar from the top of the touchpad to the around the sides of it.
Yeah. And it also looks like they've really diminished the big fat area on the backside of it.
That's my question, right?
There's no big chunk of light anymore.
That's my thing, Gary, where I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, wait, when you look at the side view again, Kevin, we can get it. Like, you see it there. Like, there is a gap there. You can see the light bleeding through. But my question is, yeah, what does that mean for PlayStation VR? Because, right, so many games do use PlayStation VR in this sense of looking at the DualShock 4 light bar and moving it around that way. And
oh, I'm sure they've considered that.
Well, I'm thinking, too, like, how many they do that. But I think even now in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, please correct me. And this is going to be something that'll be hard to correct me on. I feel games, PlayStation VR games that use the controller more now aren't using the light bar as much, right? Now it is about the gyroscopes in the controller, right? When I play Trover Saves the Universe, right? It's not reading the light bar. It's reading me actually moving the thing around. And when I'm playing Astrobot, I believe it's reading this and not the light bar.
Has there been any talk of whether or not existing controllers will work with this thing? Can you use a DualShock 4 on a PlayStation 5?
I'm fairly certain they said that. But again, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That was a long time ago when they talked about that in Wired. I can move my mic and check.
To answer your question, though, and I think it's a good question I've seen discussed a lot, is what does this tell us about the aesthetic of the actual console? Because that's right. The one big thing that Sony has not yet shown us, which is the actual console. Everyone's still working off that horrible V-shaped mock-up that somebody did, which is going to, I'm sure it's going to look nothing like. My guess is the same as yours, Greg, is that like if the console and the controller don't feel like they're of a piece together, like they don't share an aesthetic, that'll be the first time that's ever happened, right? The console and the controller always feel like they always share an aesthetic. So
yeah.
That to me says that the PlayStation 5 console itself is going to have a similar aesthetic. Some people may not like that. Like, and for example, I never really loved that white Xbox Series S.
You didn't like the glacial white Xbox?
No, because it would stick out like a, because I have a black entertainment center. It's going to stick out like a sore thumb.
I got Spider-Man PS4 down there. It looks dope as fuck.
I mean, some people like that kind of ostentatious look. I just want the stuff to basically disappear into. I don't need to see the hardware.
Yeah. Well, that's always the conversation when we go back and forth with these kind of things, right? Where it's like, anytime someone releases a dope special edition for a console you already own, there's that thing is like, oh man, that looks so good, I'd love it. But then it is that real conversation of like, well, it's gonna sit in my entertainment center. Does it really matter? Like, how many times am I gonna see how the intricate details they put into the top of it again?
Don't forget as well that color of the light bar is going to change. So that's not a locked in part of the aesthetic, the blue, right? That'll be the default, but you know, controller 2 is going to be red or whatever.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Current one, but the white and black, again, I personally like it. I like, a lot of people have said, you know, Aperture Science, a lot of people have said Detroit Beyond Human. I personally love those aesthetics. I think they're very clean, futuristic, sophisticated, modern. It looks like a grown-up thing. It doesn't look like a child's toy. And so I again, aesthetic is it's a very personal thing. Everyone's going to have a different opinion. I personally, this aesthetic appeals to me. I like it a lot.
No one's helping me on the PS4 controller confirmation. It has to, right? Because if the games are backward compatible, if it's going to work with...
I mean, there'd be no good reason for it not to.
VR, then it has to.
There'd be no good reason for it not to.
Sony has also confirmed PS4 controllers will work
with
PS5. Right, controllers can cost you. So there you go. So you still have it. Also, East Don Olives says Astrobot, Moss, etc. use the light bar. Otherwise, you couldn't reach into the scene. So it's one of those things where the magic of that is always so blended to me, I guess, in VR that, yeah. I guess that's enough light for them to use it with the DualSense, but I guess we'll have to really wait and see what their solution is.
Do you think there's a chance that Sony has something radical up its sleeve in terms of the actual console? Design, Microsoft's big thing was, well, it's vertical.
It's a tower.
It's a tower. That's new. That's never been done in consoles before. But at this point, and now you've got more to go on because we've seen the controller.
Yeah.
You're now in a position to make your most educated guess about what the PS5 will actually look like. What do you think?
Here's my thing, is I don't think the design of the box itself is going to be radical. I think it's going to be a rectangle box like always, right? That it'll be there and ready to go. I think the dual tone, though, is going to make it look more radical.
Right.
I think it's going to have this personality immediately of it. And I don't know what that looks like and how you iterate that. And if it is just the power button or the PlayStation button is a different, you know, it's an all white console and it's a black thing, or an all black thing and a white button. Like, I feel like those being moved in that direction give it a sense of, man, this box doesn't look like any PlayStation we've ever had before.
Right.
But it is still a box. It is still what you want out of it. And that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of two-tone thing, I mean, this could be a whole new design language for the PlayStation brand going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Nanobiologist, who's rarely wrong, right? And you're wrong, says Sony has never confirmed that the PlayStation 5 and PS4 are controlled. But I'm looking at this one right here from CNN. So I don't know who to believe anymore. Are you CNN, Nanobiologist? You know what I mean? Can't help you out.
I'm looking at an image of the DualSense and the Xbox One controller put next to one another. And it really is remarkable just how much the DualSense now is, the two controllers have the same. Like, if I were just looking at a black silhouette of these two controllers, I don't think I could tell you which one was which. You could do that before. You can't anymore. The difference between the two is much more subtle.
I hate, Gary, the fact that I have the two screens connected to the PC that's streaming and letting us communicate, but then I have my Mac here and that's where the keyboard is. So I try to type something in there and I start fucking up down here. I'm like, God damn it. There's an interesting thing here.
Someone's done a mock-up here, Greg. I'm looking at right now of a Spider-Man DualSense.
Oh, sure. They're going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a bunch of these. You're gonna see all these coming down the road.
No, yeah.
Someone's already done it, mocked it up in black. It looks good.
I'm looking here because there's something interesting in your wrong that I haven't heard. There's no easy way to do this that I can figure it out. Yeah.
I personally don't. Somebody mocked one up here with like a full color PlayStation button logo in the middle and like the full color buttons. It doesn't look as good to me. Now it looks like a toy again. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the black.
I'm reading here.
What are you reading?
Not interesting podcast. I'm over on Upload VR right now, where David Heaney has put up the PS5's DualSense controller might hint at PSVR 2 tracking using inside out tracking. But I'm trying to figure out if that helps with PlayStation VR in general. And there's no easy answer for me to find any of this stuff.
I mean, there probably is going to be a new generation of VR hardware to go with this PS5.
Oh, right? Well, yeah, down the line. Yeah, but they've talked that PS5 is backwards compatible with PlayStation VR. So I'm just wondering how that all works. Yeah, it's more speculation. We need to get our hands on it, and we need actual write-ups from people. That's what we need, everybody. This is why live events matter, and why the PlayStation 5 reveal event needs to happen in real time.
I like it. I like USB-C. I mean, we knew about USB-C already, but I love that. I love that we won't have to fiddle around with micro USB cables for our charging our controls anymore.
Mentioned it earlier, too, and I want to get back to it. I love the fact the microphone's built in.
Do you think, you know what, it would also be nice, because there's a speaker built into the controller, if the voice would also come through that. So that all the ingoing and incoming and outgoing voice would just be through the controller. So it's separate from the game sound, I think would be really good. So you're basically holding like a cell phone in speakerphone mode in your hand.
Right. Which could be annoying for some, but I think for them.
I would actually like that. That would be a nice option for me.
Now here, though, Tim Curry writes in patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. It says, good day from Australia, Gary and Greg.
Oi!
With the reveal of the DualSense controller and the fact that it has a microphone array, do you think this is opening up PlayStation gamers to targeted marketing in the future? With a controller in our hands that is possibly listening to us at all times, could they use this data in some way like Google would? Personally, I think it's unlikely that the device is listening at all times, like some phones do, but it certainly is possible. Gary. I think that it's way more included, so that in the same way they dropped the microphone into PlayStation 4 or the PlayStation 4 box when you got all that stuff, right? I think it's there because they've now seen a generation later how prevalent Fortnite and Destiny and every other online game is, and they want you to actually have no barriers to connection at all.
No, it's I love it. It's a terrific convenience for me. Every time I play on online, like a few friends and I were playing World War Z on PlayStation the other week, and I had to go pull out my PlayStation headset thing, and it was a hassle because I rarely use it. Like, to know that I can just go to voice chat and not have to plug in any additional hardware is great. Yeah. And we already live in a world where everyone's already got 20 devices in their house recording them at all times. Like, what? Who cares? What's one more?
I think it does open up an interesting thing of what we've talked about before, where Sony had patented that a couple months ago, right? The patent had been revealed where it was going to be a thing where you could hit the button and ask for help in a game, right?
Right.
Like, hey, how do I do this? And it might offer you DLC or some shit like that.
Yeah, like an assistant kind of thing.
Totally. And that's where I think it gets real interesting real quick is, like, I think this is proof that patent is real and something they're looking forward to here. And then it does become, I do wonder, Gary, are they going to have some kind of PlayStation assistant built into this?
I think that would be cool.
Kevin, help me get through this. Kevin, download the new DLC or something to that effect.
On it.
Oh, sorry.
The other thing that I like is that they talked about battery life, which I think is an acknowledgement that the battery life in previous PlayStation controllers has been relatively poor.
Yeah.
And maybe, that's finally going to get better this time around.
Yeah, hopefully. And I think, you know, again, they've learned a lot from the light bar and the DualShock 4. And so I think that this light bar being buried inside, probably not as bright, but then the way they're using the touchpad to make it pop more, I think is a way around that. Also, I haven't talked about the fact that I do really like that the PlayStation button is just the PlayStation logo. It's not, you know, it's not a little circle with the PlayStation thing built in. It is the PlayStation logo itself on top.
Right. Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, 100%.
It looks like there's a little mute button for the mic underneath. Is that what that is?
Yeah, and I've seen people complain that is too close to the PlayStation button, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't think so. I think that you'll be all right with that. I think you're going to be able to figure that out pretty quick. Not to mention that I think that is literally if you have it into assistant mode if you have it in headset-free mode, where I think a majority of us, if we're out there playing whatever online game, we're going to be using a headset itself. Than not hitting that or whatever.
One very minor thing, and it's kind of like a psychological UX thing that bugs me ever so slightly, is I never really loved the design trend on the 360 controller away from having the buttons be color-coded. Like, I know that A is green and B is red, and X is blue and Y is yellow, and that color-coding helps me remember where the buttons are super fast. I see the color and I hit that button. Over time, Microsoft engineered those colors out of the controllers because they wanted like a cleaner aesthetic. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that PlayStation have now done that as well. These buttons are monochromatic and the colors are gone. I don't know how people, if that's a big deal for anyone else, but it's just something I noticed.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think at this point, and granted, they're building this system and knowing they're selling it to first wave people who, of course, know PlayStation. And I think that they don't need to worry as much about, you know, making sure you know the square is pink.
Right.
I think that was something from an older time when you're trying to not only get people to play games for the first time in many situations, but you're trying to get them to learn a brand new system if they have played somewhere else. So we all did, like, at the time, shortcuts to figure out what system I'm on, how am I using it, what's going on.
Overall, Greg, just to draw a line under all this, I would say my verdict on this controller, again, based only on what we're seeing in here, is very optimistic. And generally, I'm starting to feel very optimistic about PlayStation 5 in general. And I know we all made fun of the Mark Cerny thing, but once you actually got past the awkward presentation, he said some really, really interesting things about the performance of this console. Once you were able to kind of figure out like what he was actually saying, like, give me the dummies version of it. I think we're about to enter an era where both of these consoles are going to be really exciting in their own individual ways.
I agree, Gary, and that's a great way to leave our conversation with the DualSense. So thank you all. Again, looks like there's still no confirmation. This is from you're wrong in terms of if the PlayStation 4 thing can actually. I would imagine it's backwards.
I'd be stunned if they. What would be their reasoning?
They want you to buy new controllers, but that's not how this works in 2020, right?
Yeah.
We don't have the mic built in. Who cares? But I'm sure we'll get official reports there. Let's instead move on to Xbox. Number two yesterday was Inside Xbox. Of course, they've said they're moving all their press things to digital, as you'd expect, obviously, for the foreseeable future. Here's the incredibly high level rundown of what happened on Inside Xbox. You should go watch it, of course. I'm reading from Microsoft's official report, right? Grounded Early Access. Obsidian Entertainment announced upcoming survival adventure game Grounded will enter Xbox Game Preview with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and Steam Early Access on July 28th, 2020. As part of the announcement, the team also revealed a brand new trailer focusing on the single player experience for Grounded. They changed up the Xbox Game Bar. We're continuing the evolution of Xbox Game Bar, the customizable gaming overlay built into Windows 10 for PC. Starting today, insiders can have access to apps from partners like Razer, XSplit, and Intel directly from Xbox Game Bar through new widgets. No more having to alt-tab to separate apps while gaming. there was an Xbox Game Pass update. We're thrilled to announce that on April 13th, Xbox Game Pass will be expanding to Japan and Korea. Xbox Game Pass for PC will launch in beta for gamers in Korea and will be included as part of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate Benefits, which is already available for gamers in the region, while all Xbox game services for console and PC will come to Japan for the first time. We also shared new titles joining the Xbox Game Pass libraries across console and PC, including Alvastia Chronicles, Journey to the Savage Planet, Overcooked 2, Football Manager 2020, Mistover, and Stranger Things 3 The Game. For more details on this, you can check out Xbox Game Pass on Xbox's site. Project xCloud Preview is adding more great games from EA. We've added even more titles to the Project xCloud Preview. Beginning today, participants can play three more great games from EA on their Android phones or tablets, including The Sims 4, Unravel 2, Dragon Age Inquisition. Additionally, this morning, we announced that Project xCloud Preview will be heading to 11 new countries across Western Europe. Forza Street races onto mobile on May 5th. That's pretty much it. If you're an iOS or Android player, you can play Forza Street races Forza Street on May 5th. And there you go. For a limited time, we'll also be giving out a Founders Pack to anyone who plays Forza Street between May 5th and June 5th as a welcome gift. The Coalition announced that Gears Tactics has gone gold. They also talked about a bunch of things you might not know about it. And then Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves free ships of fortune update is going to be launching soon now. Later this month, it's coming out. There's a new Sea of Thieves expansion. And then a new batch of ID at Xbox games are coming to Xbox One. In today's show, we took a look at a brand new game called The Last Campfire, a dark fantasy from developer Hello Games that combines a beautiful art style with a wide variety of puzzles to create a wholly unique experience. There was also a new trailer for Tommy Crops, an action-packed farming simulator where you must cultivate and defend the last farm in the post-apocalyptic wasteland. Finally, it was announced that the action-packed top-down shooter Hotline Miami Collection is not only coming to Xbox One, but is available right now.
Surprise. Wait, what was the name of the farming game? That sounded interesting.
You are looking for Atomic Crops.
Atomic Crops?
And but it's got only one C, so it's like Atomic Crops or Atomic Rops. Atomic Crops. Atomic Crops, my wife Atomic is screaming Crops. From the back. A Tommy Crops. That's a dumb that's name.
When is that coming to Xbox?
There's also new game. I don't have that in. They didn't talk about
okay, it. Okay, I'm going to look out.
Do you know when it's coming to Xbox? Like fun. No, she doesn't know when it's coming to Xbox. But it's out there. It's doing it. Thanks for the assist. It's a post-apocalyptic. So there's a bomb's gone off, right? Atomic. It's atomic warfare.
Yeah, no, crops. I get it. I like the
Atomic Crops.
The last farm. That sounds atomic exciting. Crops?
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is exciting. And then number three for you, Gary Whitta. Starting today, you can play Stadia Pro for free starting today. This is Phil Harrison, VP and GM at Stadia. We're facing some of the most challenging times in recent memory. Keeping social distance is vital, but staying home for long periods can be difficult and feel isolating. Video games can be a valuable way to socialize with friends and family when you're stuck at home. So we're giving gamers in 14 countries free access to Stadia for 2 months. This is starting today and rolling out over the next 48 hours. Anyone who signs up will get 2 free months of Stadia Pro with instant access to 9 games, including Grid, Destiny 2 The Collection, and Thumper. You can purchase even more games on the store, which will remain yours to play even if you cancel your Stadia Pro membership. If you're already a paid Stadia Pro subscriber, we won't charge you for the next 2 months. After that, Stadia Pro is $9.99 a month, but you can opt out of your subscription anytime. With increased demand due to more people at home during this time, we're taking a responsible approach for internet traffic. For Stadia, we've always adjusted bandwidth use based on a variety of in-home and local internet factors. To reduce load on the internet further, we're working toward a temporary feature that changes the default screen resolution, from 4K to 1080p. The vast majority of people on desktop or laptop won't notice a significant drop in gameplay quality, but you can choose your data option usage in the Stadia app. Like so many people around the world going through this crisis, our support team has been significantly impacted and our customer support functions are not running at full capacity. Please use our automated help center and, as you give Stadia a try, check out these helpful tips in setting the new environment. Many of you will be new to Stadia, so we've posted a getting started walkthrough. Gary, of course, we bag on Stadia all the time, but that's a really cool move.
It is a cool move, and you've seen lots of other companies make similar moves. Stadia doing this, you know, it's a way to play games without having to go to the store or even spend any money. I do, if I were a cynic, which is, of course, you know, I'm not, but were I a cynic, I might suggest that I think a lot of companies in general are using coronavirus as a convenient excuse to like do a few things that they might want to do anyway, but have like a nice excuse. Like a lot of companies are laying off employees. Some legitimately have to do that. I think some others are like have been waiting to do it for a while, but like, oh, now we've got the perfect excuse without, you know, getting too much grief for it. I think in this case, Stadia badly needs to make some dramatic moves to get people to try and stick around. I think if they were under normal circumstances, say, okay, now Stadia Pro's free for 3 months or 2 months or whatever, people would say, oh my God, look how desperate they are. They're giving it away already. Yeah. Whereas under the shadow of coronavirus, they can do it in a way that makes them seem magnanimous. I'm not in any way giving them grief for doing it. I think it's a nice thing that they're doing. I'm just saying they're not doing this purely out of charity. This is a nice way for them to get Stadia in the hands of people that wouldn't otherwise try it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but I think this actually reaches back to a topic of conversation I had on the show last week, right? Where I was asking why more developers and publishers weren't doing stuff similar to this. I was talking about how Ubisoft was doing free trials for all their games or whatever. I was like, everyone should do that. Every games as a service online should be giving away double XP and doing all these different things. And my argument with myself when I brought it up was, I wonder if people aren't doing this because they are worried about these kind of optics, where they don't want to look like ghouls. They don't want to look like, something bad's happened. How can we get people? How can we get money? But then you do want that, but you do want it for good reasons, but you do want it for business reasons. And it's a whole ball of wax, right? In terms of...
You can be doing two things. I mean, there's more than one motive behind this. Yes, it's genuinely a nice thing to do. Would they be doing this were it not for coronavirus? No. I mean, again, they might be. It would just be more transparent in the sense that, like, they desperately need people to sign up for Stadia, but they don't want to be seen to be so desperate they're making it completely free to play just yet. So this is a nice way to not just seem charitable, but be charitable at a time when everyone, you know, needs a little extra help. But at the same time, do themselves a favor. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And then finally, number four, another interesting story about people trying to do good things. Borderlands is teaming up to fight science, or help science, I guess, not fight it. They're going to fight for science. Next, this is from their official release. You can read
With all the negative press coming out of Borderlands, lately, I wouldn't be surprised if it actually was the headline. Now Borderlands wants to destroy science. What's next?
Next time you're aboard Sanctuary 3 and Borderlands 3, keep an eye out for a newly installed Borderlands Science arcade game in the corner of Dr. Tanis's infirmary. Developed in conjunction with McGill University, massively multiplayer online science, and the Microsetta Initiative, Borderlands Science is a puzzle game that benefits the real-world scientific community as you play. Borderlands Science presents you with some simple block puzzles based on strands of DNA. And by solving them, you're helping to map and compare the microbes contained therein. Completing these puzzles also earns you in-game currency, which can be redeemed for unique Vault Hunter heads and skins, as well as time boosters that buff your stats, loot quality, and even experience gains when you jump back into the mayhem of Borderlands 3 proper. Borderlands Science exists in part because computers aren't perfect at organizing this data and make lots of small mistakes that can corrupt subsequent analysis. But the game you play is to solve this complex task is easy to understand and play. Color tiles representing different nucleotides appear on the grid. By nudging them up within their columns, you attempt to organize them into the correct rows. It's not always possible to line up the tiles correctly, but attempting these puzzles is still helpful as you're identifying errors in real-world computer analyses. Each of the Borderlands Science puzzles has a target score that you need to hit in order to progress and get credit for solving. Note that hitting a target's puzzle score doesn't mean you have to move on to the next one, though. Often, there will still be additional moves that you can make. Going above and beyond the bare minimum that's required is key if you want to beat high scores already posted by Tanis and contribute more data to this important microbe initiative. In case you're curious about the practical applications for the raw data gathered through Borderlands Science, the human gut is linked to numerous diseases and conditions, including diabetes, depression, autism, anxiety, obesity, and more. By mapping these microbes, the hope is that scientists will be able to better understand these ecosystems, which may help guide future research into novel treatments and interventions. For more information, you can check the Microsetta Initiative. And if you want to learn more about the methods, check out dnapuzzles.org. It reminds me a lot of Folding at Home. Of course, that was a PS3 app. Folding at Home is still going on. It was a PS3 app that when you weren't using your PS3, you could put on and it would go and crunch, you know, fucking science stuff like this, and has made a comeback in recent weeks because they're doing stuff where you can put your PC in. Well, I guess you could have always done this, but right now Folding at Home is working on coronavirus stuff. So if your PC is not being used, you can leave it in the Folding at Home program and it crunches on coronavirus stuff. This I thought was just, again, a cool idea, right, Gary?
Yeah, I think it's great. It made me think of Folding at Home as well. I thought Folding at Home was cool. I have also recently been looking at that I think it's a GeForce initiative where, you know, if you've got your PC sitting around, you've got a chunky GPU not doing anything, you know, have it break down some molecules and let's see if we can cure some diseases. I think that's great. And this sounds like basically exactly that, but with an interactive element, like it's a game you actually play.
Yeah, and it's cool. They're rewarding you for it, right?
Yeah, it's cool. I love that they're added it to Borderlands. The only thing I might suggest that would be even cooler than that is separate the thing out and let
Frank Furter writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, this is something I truly can get behind due to it being something fun and helpful. But my concern lies within the fact it's only accessible My concern lies with the fact that the only way to access this awesome, helpful, and inspiring idea is to buy the game, which, if people haven't bought already, they probably aren't going to buy with the news of Randy Pitchford not paying his employees their promised bonuses. My question is, should Gearbox have made this new feature a free-to-play standalone game rather than lock it behind the full game? Also, what are some of the ways other devs can be helping the scientific community?
I think they could do both.
Yeah, 100%. I think, and I honestly, knowing... whatever you want to, like last week with the story of the whole, like, yeah, like you're not getting the bonuses you're going to get aren't what they were promised. Get a new job, all that shit that Trier was talking about what was going on, and is a bunch of fucking bullshit at Gearbox, right? From the top down. That fucking sucks. But knowing, because obviously we work on the Borderlands show, knowing the people that I've been able to talk to at Gearbox, they are all on top of their social conscious. And I would not be shocked at all if this is the first step on this. And especially as good as the Gearbox infrastructure is with, like, you know, how we were chasing golden keys when we were playing, right, Gary, and redeeming all those things. Like, the way that you have a Gearbox account tied to your Borderlands account, it would not shock me in any sense of the word or imagination that in a month, if this is helping and doing what they want it to do, they put out a web version of this where you can log in with your Gearbox thing and you can just play on your desktop when you want to as a time waster and get your rewards there. Or, like you're saying, play for free and not have anything to go on to.
Right,
but I'm saying have a way to do both, like you're talking about, Gary, right?
Yeah, look, I mean, generally, I'm not a fan of the perfect being the enemy of the good. And when someone tries to do something good, they get jumped on by people going, you know, social media warriors going, well, you could do even more. It could be even better. This isn't good enough. Why aren't you doing more? It's like, well, I'm doing something. It's probably more than you. All you're doing is sitting behind a keyboard fucking criticizing me. Why don't you go do something?
Yeah.
So I don't want to be that guy. So I will just applaud Gearbox for doing something that's very cool and hope that they do even more. In the same vein, like separating that out so that anyone that wants to try and contribute to science without having to play Borderlands would be even better. So, you know, but a great start. And I applaud Gearbox for adding this to their game.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And I think it's awesome that they're doing anything, period, like you're saying. They couldn't very easily have done nothing. Right. I think it's cool that there is a reward on top of just helping science that, hey, you can get stuff in the game. That's cool. And I do think, like I'm saying, like, it would not shock me in any sense of the imagination that
right.
In the next month we have a version that isn't. But maybe they don't. And again, if they don't, it's not really... I mean, we can say that it'd be cool if it was free, but it also we can't throw stones at them doing something, right, Gary?
Absolutely. I mean, I saw a lot of people shouting at Jack this week, you know, Jack from Twitter. And there's always a good reason to shout at Jack. But, you know, this week he put $1 billion of his money into helping fight COVID-19 and got a bunch of shit for it because, like, oh, you didn't just donate the money. You moved it into another company of yours that is going to work on those efforts. Okay, yeah, that's that's still pretty fucking good. Like, again, don't criticize people
for not
personal standards of what they should be contributing when all you're probably doing is sitting around just like sniping at people on the internet. Like, you go fucking give $1 billion to COVID-19 and then I'll criticize you.
If you deliver bad news to your company and it's very heartbreaking, probably don't tell them they can go work somewhere else.
That's a whole different kettle of fish.
That is a whole different kettle of fish. And instead, I'd rather talk about what's coming to that list. But first, let me tell you about our sponsor. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, Gregway, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Support for Kind of Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. April is Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know one guy every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? I can't say it. Testicular cancer. So this is a reminder to all the men listening to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Manscaped, in addition to providing the right tools and solutions for safe and easy manscaping, has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Together, TCS and Manscaped are committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35 and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as part of their, quote, We Save Balls initiative. While you're down there cleaning up your sack, why not go ahead and give them a little investigation for lumps, changes in sizes, or any pain? Manscaped recommends you check yourself once a month. If you do feel any lumps or swelling, give your doctor a call. In addition to checking yourself regularly, we want to make sure your sack is looking fresh and clean with the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find the electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 3.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking or snagging your nuts. They're going to sag no matter what. They can't help there. Some of these liquid tools for your family jewels include the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant for your balls, the Crop Reviver, a spray-on ball toner and refresher. On top of that, you'll also get a performance boxer, pair of boxer briefs that keep your package cool and smelling fresh all day long. Join the Manscaped movement and start taking care of your balls today. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Learn more about testicular cancer screening at manscaped.com/we-save-balls and share their education video to help save lives and balls. You can also get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com with the promo code GAMES. Your balls will thank you. Now, Kevin, don't click me out yet because I'm wondering if it definitely has hyphens in this URL, but was that so that like we pronounce it right? And in fact, there isn't hyphens. I'm going to Manscaped. No, Manscaped. Okay, manscaped.com/we-save-balls. There you go. Now you can go back. Gary.
You're going to ask me about balls, are you?
I am actually. I was going to say, I'm excited to see all the kind of funny clean balls out there, but I won't see those for a while because they're ordering Manscaped stuff now. If I wanted to know instead what was coming to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of up-and-coming software as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
I'm doing it from memory now, Greg. Aren't you impressed?
You said up-and-coming, and I think that was like one of the few, the only big mistakes you had. I was very proud of you.
What did I get wrong? What is the
did
actual
say, I forget. Did you say...
The official list of up-and-coming software as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show. What am I getting wrong there?
He doesn't even have the decency to listen. You know,
the official list of upcoming software
upcoming
each and
up
every
and coming.
Platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games.
That's
what I said.
List of upcoming software on each and every platform. The platform
close enough. Who cares?
Whatever.
You fucking road book it, Eli. Out today. Call of Duty Modern Warfare Season 3 is now live. Starting today, Red Dead Online players can battle across 4 new maps in Showdown series, spanning 4 Showdown modes, Overrun, Spoils of War, Plunder, and Up in Smoke, each featuring throwing knives and shotguns. Biped is on PS4. Convoy, a tactical roguelike, is on PS4 and Xbox One. Pen and Paper Games Bundle is on Switch. Ubongo on Switch, Galaxy of Pen and Paper Plus One Edition on PS4 and Switch, Tower Tale on Switch, A Room Where Art Conceals on PSVR, Sharknado VR, Eye of the Storm on PSVR, Dark Disharmony on PC, Delirium on PC, Bear Party Adventure on PC, Squatch on PC, Humanity on PC, God King, Master of Rituals on PC.
Are you going to check out Sharknado VR, Greg?
No, we do the 104 PSN games ranked on the PS I Love You, right?
And, I'm looking at it right now. Hold on.
Yeah, I saw the art for it, and I was like, ugh, this doesn't scream like it's actually officially licensed by Sharknado. So I was like, I don't even want to be part of this.
And I chose it the game. Officially licensed by Sharknado?
Maybe Sharknado is like, you know, what is it when it's a property owned by everybody? Common property? No.
No, it's not. I mean,
What am I thinking of? You're the writer.
Public domain?
Public domain.
Sharknado is not in the public domain, dude.
Maybe the people who came up with Sharknado thought that this is a gift to humanity.
It's all official. This is an officially licensed.
Well, it didn't look like a good game. is it a good game?
That's very on brand for Sharknado, though.
New dates for you. Journey to the Savage Planet is getting an update called Hot Garbage. It's coming to Xbox One and Epic Game Store Wednesday, April 15th. This is an interesting one. It's not a new date, but it's kind of a retraction about a date that apparently came out. Today, the Nintendo eShop posted a release date for the upcoming Streets of Rage 4, and we are clarifying that date is not final or confirmed by the publisher.
But what's the date?
They say the game is launching soon. But we would appreciate any and all stories to reflect that the date posted earlier today is not correct. So
I
don't
believe
it.
Wait for Streets of Rage 4. Is that going to have online play? Like, would we be able to play together?
You imagine it has to, but I don't know. I have not.
I got to do that. I want to get
streets, some streets. You make a new Streets of Rage. I mean, that's all it is. You
know what I mean? and that new Windjammers.
Windjammers, I never got into. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're crazy.
I didn't do it as like a stance. It just never clicked for me. Maybe
you
got to
get
me the way.
You got to
teach me the way.
You want to try? I mean, Jared and I played it at PAX West. It was fantastic.
Well, that was why I didn't like it. If Jared and Xavier Woods like it, I can't be a fan.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it sucks.
You're cutting off your own nose to spite your face there, Greg. It's a good
game. Now you and I are, you know, best friends, and you can stream it, and I'll come join your stream, and you can teach me.
Yeah, we'll squad stream it.
There we go. All right. Ian Walker at Kotaku reports that Disco Elysium is headed to Switch. The developer studio ZA/UM, I don't know if they say Zamum, revealed, and it's weird because I hosted award shows where they won things and I never listened to how to say their name. Revealed during a recent BBC interview, this conversation-based RPG was a smash hit when it arrived at PC last October, earning praise for its gorgeous visuals and darkly comedic tone.
Yeah, big hit. I'll be interested to see how they put that on Switch, because there's a lot of text in that game, especially like on a Switch Lite. You know, you got to make sure that text is readable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I knew I needed to. Lucy James played it a lot and loved it. And I looked at it a few times and I was never in the mood.
Yeah.
For it.
So Klepek, I think having and Jason Schreier and all the kind of the wine connoisseurs.
I was going to say all the people.
The Monocle Brigade. Yeah. We're all really into that game.
These are our friends.
Not common friend, meat and potatoes gamers like
no,
you.
No, not like
Greg.
Us. You and me playing these in these Animal Crossing.
That's right.
Gary, it's time to squad up. This is where we tell people to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give us their name, username, platform choice, why they need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you. Today, the squad up is twitch.tv/GaryWitta. Everybody support Gary Witta.
Yeah, and it's perfect because I'm streaming tonight.
Oh, are you? What are you streaming tonight? More Animal Crossing?
I'm probably going to do. Oh, there's a new, very excited. They just dropped. So all of my favorite YouTube content providers have dropped new videos. The Wolf Pit is back reviewing microwave meals. Very excited about the new Beer Battered Chicken, Hungry Man, that he's going to review. Crazy Russian Hacker is back with some new crazy products to test that he got from Amazon. And most importantly, there is a new episode of my favorite Russian competitive face slapping show, Stone Faces, which appears to be taking place inside some kind of Russian prison. So it's like Gulag edition. So it's going to be the hardest hardcore face slaps. So I'm going to check all of those things out tonight.
So you're just watching other YouTube content and streaming?
That's basically all I do, yeah.
Okay. I thought you played a lot of Animal Crossing's in the morning, right?
Animal Crossing every morning, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/GaryWitta, every single day, even weekends. And then Wednesday nights I stream. I'll probably play some Animal Crossing. I don't know. I got everyone keeps telling me to play Doom Eternal. I got to check that out as well. Oh, I will get there.
Heavy is the crown.
I know, right? So many people to please, and there's only one me.
If you guys want to do your squad ups and get people to play games with, remember, I do them in the 24-hour basis. So if you don't get red on another day, I need you to hit it up, especially when we have rotating hosts. So patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Right now, let's check in with You Are Wrong. This is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Hey, maybe you have Amazon Prime. You can link that to Twitch Prime and give us that free 30-day subscription. They go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Steve Gerbs wrote in and said, for Gary, the Xbox controllers that come with the console's stock still have colored buttons. They are only non-colored on special edition controllers where it fits the design. So I guess
like the Elite, for example, doesn't have the color.
Yeah, so that's an interesting point that I missed too, because I'm thinking of, my Elite, or I guess probably some of my special. Oh, I'm thinking of my personal Design Lab one of I guess. So it's an even bigger deal, Gary, that PlayStation isn't doing that, even though I don't know
they're leading the way.
Hurry up in your did for Xbox Series X controller, did they take away the color buttons, or are they still colored? Let me know. Nanobiologist says I missed this news from inside Xbox. People can now spend their Microsoft points to send donations through Microsoft to the CDC. That's interesting. I didn't see that. Thank you very much. And then
they still have the colors on the Series X controller on the default.
Okay, so there you go. So
Sony's actually ahead of the curve on that now.
Revolution, Gary.
Yeah.
And then Gary Gixtofer gets us and says, Gary did not give a fitness update today.
The same. This past week was a flat week. I weighed 221.6 last week. I weighed 221.6 this week. So kind of a flat week.
That happens
in weight loss. You kind of plateau.
Yeah.
But that's good. As long as I'm not gaining anything, I'm happy. I've lost 31 and a bit pounds. So I'm very, very happy so far. And I've got about 20 more to go and I'll be even happier. We're getting there.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host for the rest of Games Daily look like this. Thursday, it's me and Blessing. Friday, it's me and Blessing. One of those Blessing will host, and I'll be side on. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We take you through the video game news you need to know about. If you like that, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us questions. You can get the show ad-free. You can watch the post-show we're about to do, Mr. Witta. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss away, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Yeah, we nailed it. We crushed it today.
Another good show. I mean, you know, we've got this so down, Greg.
How happy are you? Because like for most of your Wednesday career, no news days. Slow news.
I've been, you know, the news has been dropping. Maybe there's just more news in general. So it seems like I don't feel like more news is happening on a Wednesday. I just feel like it's happening in general, even on Wednesdays. Because, you know, we're getting into this console cycle.
The race, man.
The news.
We have a post show to do, ladies and gentlemen. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.